You've taken us right out of those clouds through that Easter experience, and here we are, hallelujah, hallelujah, right? It's the glory of Easter morning. So why did the baby chick cross the road anyway? Anybody know? Well, yeah, to get the other side, because it wanted to meet up with its peeps. And so you crossed through whatever you needed to cross through to be here today to meet up with your peeps. And you all are meeting us up through the camera online. Thank you for all being here with us, those of you outside as well. Because our spiritual community is part of our peeps, right? That is part of where we come together and we remember together who we are. We remember the power of a day like this, that we can indeed resurrect the divine spirit within us. So last Monday, Brenly, my wife, and I were invited to a convergence, an interfaith convergence of Ramadan, Passover, and Easter. Yeah, it was really wonderful. It was held at a synagogue. It was our first experience of an iftar, which is the breaking of the fast on Ramadan. So the Muslims invited us to have an iftar dinner with them at sunset and break the fast with them. And the rabbi explained the different symbolism of the Seder dinner that is part of that that honoring of the Israelites gaining freedom from bondage. And there was a Baptist minister there who shared a few words, and there was an Islamic Sufi who read some Rumi, and I got to share our affirmative style of prayer from Unity, and it was just a grand time of interfaith connection and convergence, being with our peeps, people we've never met before, but knowing that across the faith traditions, there is an understanding of kindness and love and peace that all of us share, right? Regardless of where we come from in our religious beliefs, at the base of all of our religions is that truth, those truths that are about all the ways that we want to be as a human family. And these ancient traditions kind of converged in a special way this year. So Passover began on Good Friday. And if you think about, you know, just the fact that when these things happen, I just always pay attention, you know, as we do. It's not necessarily coincidence, right? It's divine timing. Because it is all these ancient traditions from their roots pointing us to the way, to the interwovenness of humanity, to the oneness that we all share, to the remembrance of these things. And when we resurrect, when we move into the truth of the spirit of who we are, these things we remember. And then, ideally, we actually embody them and live them, right? So we're going to talk about a little bit of that practicality today. So the Christians and the followers of Jesus have now leached Lent from their limbs, as poet Kit Kennedy puts it, and moved from that great tribulation and crucifixion time to through the tomb of quiet and darkness, into this new dawn, into this new day, into the glory that is the hallelujah of Easter. But that fullness of Easter's resurrection cannot be known without paying attention to the process. So I so appreciate the music choices that brought us, told some of that story, right? That I know this rose will open, the storm will pass, there's a sense of I'm coming out of something. I can meet these challenges and I can rise up above them. I can move through them. Good message for our world right now, right? Where we see darkness, light is breaking through. Where our hearts break, there is a breaking opening into a greater understanding of what we need to do and to be, and where the gaps are still, where those places are that we are still falling short of the truth of these teachings. So Bishop Fulton Sheen puts it this way: unless there is a Good Friday in your life, there can be no Easter Sunday. You know, we don't experience the richness and the fullness of what Easter is about from a spiritual understanding unless we also understand the rest of the story that is a part of that breakthrough of consciousness in the experience that is Easter. So knowing this truth, it doesn't ruin the party of Easter. Be careful, you know, it's important to say to Unity folks too, we're all about having fun and spreading joy, right? So it's not about being a party pooper. It's really about bringing more meaning and sacredness to what the joy and the glory and the alleluia is all about. And so what is this process? You know, it can be a little bit confused with Christmas time, right? The spiritual teachings, because at Christmas, we talk about the rebirth of the Christ within us. But Christmas is that kind of ushering in of the child within, right? It's a sort of starting fresh kind of feeling. It's that, you know, think about how it's represented. The Christ is represented as baby Jesus, right? And so we often think of Christmas as that holiday that is especially magical for children. And so there is that sense of rebirth that happens at Christmas time, but at Easter, it's different. Think about what it's represented by, adult Jesus. He's been through some stuff, right? It's not all wide-eyed innocence, right? It's that kind of deep wisdom that we carry when we've had lifetime experiences. And still there's a breakthrough, and still there's a rising up above, and that rising up above is an embodiment that carries with it the trials and the tribulations and the remembrance and the wisdom of the hard knocks of life. It's a different kind of breakthrough. It's a different kind of knowing. It's a rising into, and still, right, in the resurrection, he's still in the same body. That's a key part of that whole resurrection story. So it's still us. We're not starting fresh and over completely. We're just remembering who we are and carrying with us even the human walk that comes with that. That's the depth of Easter. There is so much depth to this Easter experience. And what Jesus rises into then is a spiritual kind of completeness by crossing out, crucifying, letting go of the last vestiges of ego that are holding him back. And it's the same kind of potent process for us, a crossing out, a letting go, a shedding of what doesn't serve us anymore, whatever that may be for each of us. And so that demonstration is given to us with the Easter experience, and what we then can rise into is what he rose into, is the fullness of our light, the fullness of our divine love, the fullness of our joy, and to be that, to breathe that, to let that move through us in the world and in our lives and in every moment. Watchman Nee said, Our old history ends with the cross. Our new history begins with the resurrection. You know, we talked about this last week. It's like, I didn't want to believe humanity was still in that place of such cruelty as what's going on in Ukraine. And yet here we see it, right? And so in every moment, it's a new opportunity to just say, that's our old history. That is our old history. And to really step into the newness that is the resurrection, that is the awakening, that is the remembrance of the divine truth, the love, the light, the peace, and all that goes with it. In 2015, it was the midst of Lent, actually. It was in March of 2015 that I went to Death Valley for a vision fast. And that's what the group called it. It was basically a time of, you come together with a group and you do get a lot of support in the beginning of really going deep within of what is it that is ready to die in me. It was really a confrontation with death, right? Or you could look at it as, if I were to die, you know, what now? What next? What would I want to bring forth in my life? And so contemplating that and sharing that and processing that in a group was all preparation for us to then go out into the desert solo and fast from food and company and what else? Shelter. Thank you. So it was kind of a rigorous spiritual practice, or at least it was for me. Nothing happened in a way, right? Out in the middle of the desert, nothing happened. It was a lot of emptiness. It was a lot of intrigue of where's the moon going to rise now? And wait, how come it's not there in the sky like it was last night? You know, all these kinds of things that we maybe contemplate, the mundane, right? And then there is the richness that happens too, the everythingness that happens in the desert. If you've ever been in the desert and thought, oh, it was just a desolate place, and then you spend a little time there, you realize it's teeming with life. It's teeming with a kind of spiritual life. And so after 3 days of this experience, then we returned to kind of a natural theatrical setting where we were to meet death personified in a theatrical way. And so I just kind of knew immediately that as I was moving through the camp that I was supposed to stop at the cooler and pick up one of these, an egg, a hard-boiled egg I happen to have with me. And when I got to meet death, I had this sort of confidence that I had never felt before. You know, it just sort of like rising up in me. There was just this sort of complete assuredness of where I was and who I was and what this was about and what it looked like and what I needed to say to death. And I said to death, I respect you, but I am not afraid of you. And then I began to peel my egg, and I didn't care how long it took. I didn't care if anybody was waiting. I was just peeling my little egg. I was so in the moment because I couldn't wait to take a bite of that egg, but I was going to mindfully move to that bite. You know how it is in those moments when you're really hungry, but you're in a spiritual place? Everything is sort of slow-mo, you know, but you can't wait to get to that place. And so that's what I did. I peeled my egg and I just ate it really mindfully, but yet with a kind of gusto, you know? But it wasn't just about eating an egg, because it was so infused with the spirituality that it was like the representation of life itself. An egg, right? What better representation of life itself? And I was hungry too, so there was that practical aspect. But it's that kind of experience that is an intentional spiritual practice that can change our lives, right? It transforms us to have those kinds of experiences where we have a moment where we rise up into the full truth of who we are, and we stand in that place out of confidence and faith, and we know what we're up to and why we're doing it and what we need to say. And we can have these experiences every day. Every day is an opportunity to have an intentional spiritual practice. Wherever we are, in our same place where we wake up every morning, how do you wake up in the morning? How do you greet the day? When you wake up in the morning, when you open your eyes, what's the first thought you have when you swing your feet down to the ground and you rise up? Do you think, I didn't get enough sleep? I have too much to do today. Do you think, oh no, what happened in the news today? Oh, my aching something, right? Yeah, that one. But what if instead we thought, whatever that stone was that was here yesterday has rolled away because it is a new day and a new dawn has broken. And I am rising up into the truth of who I am today in a whole new way. So whatever you've got for me today, God, I am totally in. What if we woke up like that with that kind of self-talk and then put our feet on the ground? What a different day we would rise up into, right? All that just from a few simple self-talking statements, but a knowing that this rose will open if I do a little bit of work to help it along, not pry it open, right? That doesn't work. But nurture it, right? Water it. Give it a little sunshine. And do that for ourselves. That helps us move into that kind of space. So our tradition is New Thought, right? And it is pretty literal about thinking new thoughts, training ourselves to think in new ways. That's what new thought is all about. New thought is about have a new thought that moves us into the divine, where everything then flows from there. I read this article yesterday or the day before in Entrepreneur magazine by Paul Kicks, and it's the story of Kat Norton. This young woman, Kat Norton, who was overly apologetic, super anxious young woman. She was full of creativity, but she couldn't really let it out because she was so self-conscious. She said she'd walk the streets of New York City, you know, worrying she was in somebody's space or offending somebody all the time. You know, that was kind of how she moved through the world. When she was asked in school to give a presentation, her face would immediately turn bright red at the thought, and she would go into kind of a minor panic attack and try to do things to get out of it. She did make her way through school, and she got hired at a consulting firm in New York City. And she said it just continued to manifest. For example, she'd be in a meeting, and she would say absolutely nothing unless she was at least 100% sure that what she was about to say was exactly right. Otherwise, nothing. But she harbored this nerdy little secret. She loved the software application Excel. You know, it takes all of us. It's fascinating. It's really a fascinating story. It gets good. So during the pandemic, she did three things that actually caused her to resurrect more of her true self. She read a book by Joe Dispenza called Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself. She took a self-hypnosis course called To Be Magnetic by Lucy Phillips, and she started practicing Kundalini Yoga. And these three seeming desperate things all came together to show her that changing your thoughts changes your life. This is not new. It did not begin with new thought. Vedic Sanskrit talks about this. The Buddha talked about this. Jesus talked about this. Paul talked about this. And a whole myriad of contemporary authors now talk about this, right? This idea, this simple idea that the power of our thoughts, you know, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Those were some of the words of Paul that talked about this idea. That is how we move ourselves into that kind of resurrected experience of the divine potential that we are, to really step into that truth. So Kat practiced these things. She didn't just learn about it, but she practiced what she learned. And so she did some healing work. She did some work around shame. She healed some old wounds. She freed up her heart. She began to own her own creativity. And now, 2 years later, Kat Norton makes dance videos on TikTok teaching people how to do Excel. It gets thousands of people watching and often nets $100,000 a day. She is happy, she is healthy, she is wealthy, she is confident, and she is only 29 years old. The difference between knowing the principles and working the principles. It's practical spirituality. That's what New Thought is about. It's about giving feet to the ideas and really embracing them and allowing them to rule our lives, essentially, so that the divine can be in charge. In 2 Corinthians 6, there's this beautiful translation of this passage. It's 11 through 13, by Eugene Peterson. This translation is called The Message. I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter this wide open, spacious life. We didn't fence you in. The smallness you feel comes from within you. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. I'm speaking to you as plainly as I can with great affection. Open up your lives. Live openly and expansively. So it's this idea, right? This invitation of possibility. How do we do it? How do we dive in? How do we allow ourselves to really embody the teachings of New Thought that go all the way back to ancient times and to allow ourselves to rise up into the truth of who we are? So I have an acronym for you today. It's RIGHT, because it's right here and now. And this acronym starts with this R for resurrection, rising up into our magnificence. And we do it how? Through the I that is inquiring into what brings us alive. What makes you come alive? ask yourself that question. Hold that question in your own meditative time or in your heart right now. What makes me come alive? What is it that I do or ways of being in my life that makes me feel really alive? Because that's the pathway to our joy. What brings me joy? You could ask it that way. And whatever that is, then invest in that. Invest in your time, invest in your talents, invest yourself in that. For Miss Excel, aka Kat Norton, it was Excel. Who knew? But all done in this very creative way. So we don't really know what will come forth for us in our expression in the world out of this journey. And that's part of the excitement of it all, to ask, to inquire, to find out what brings me joy, what makes me come alive, and then to be willing to invest in that. And then the G is gratitude, gratitude for life. Our thoughts can be as simple as grateful ones that move us into a whole different vibrational energy. We all know this from our experience, right? You can be totally down in the dumps, and you can just think of one thing you're grateful for. You know, just look around you and find something that you're grateful for. Look within you. It's so simple to find something. The air I breathe. Whoa, that I just had a breath. That I'm alive today. That I have my eyesight. That I'm able to walk. That I can hear. That I can hear the birds sing. That the grass is green. That it rained. You know, it just goes on. Once it starts, there's sort of that ongoing experience of gratitude. And it shifts us into a lighter, brighter, risen kind of way of feeling. Because new thought isn't just about thought, right? It's not just about intellect. It's not just there, but it's also this feeling nature of ours, these two married together. So gratitude, Melody Beatty says, gratitude unlocks the fullness of life. It turns what we have into enough and more. It turns denial into acceptance, chaos into order. It turns confusion into clarity. It can turn a meal into a feast, a house into a home, a stranger into a friend. Gratitude. It's so simple, right? So the practice of gratitude, we can write our gratitude, we can speak our gratitudes, we can share our gratitudes with others, we can notice the untrue stories we're telling ourselves and begin our gratitude practice right in that moment. So whatever it is that is present for us, if it doesn't feel like we're moving into that kind of space we want to be in, practice some gratitude and it will easily bring us there. The H in our RIGHT acronym is heart care, caring for these hearts of ours, right? Letting ourselves grieve. Letting ourselves feel what we feel, not skipping over, not doing that kind of, you know, spiritual jump over that we can do sometimes, that spiritual bypass, but letting ourselves be real with our hearts, because it is in that heart care that the heart healing happens, right? And without that healing, skimming on the surface, it just isn't going to, it's not going to land. We're not going to have the depth of the Easter experience without that kind of depth as well. And so we can go into our hearts and just say, what do you need? What's up? How do you feel? You know, just notice what's present for ourselves. How does my heart feel today? A friend of mine used to ask me that. How's your heart? I always love that. She wouldn't just say, how are you? She'd say, how's your heart? And immediately we'd go into a deeper conversation, usually while we were bicycling. So for some reason, it was that's what I associate with that friend. But it's like those gifts we give each other, right? So we can give that to other people. How's your heart today? And we can ask ourselves, what does my heart need? Is there anything that you need? We ask our hearts, and our hearts will tell us. Did you hear about the bunny that sat on the bumblebee? You can tell I've been into the kids' jokes. It's a tender tale. But sometimes our hearts need a tender tale, right? Like turn off all the violence and just like read a kid's storybook or watch a kid's movie. Well, some of those are violent too, but you know. Use discernment. For something very sweet, right? Something very innocent, maybe an old folk tale, or maybe gather with some friends and make a campfire. and tell and spin stories yourselves, you know? You start a line, you pass it to the next person. I mean, it's just, it's in our DNA to do this, to gather by the campfire and tell stories. So when we go back to those kinds of practices, something stirs in us in a whole different way. There is a kind of tenderness in the heart that opens. It's like, ah, I remember this. I remember the sweet stories that I carry then with me into my days in a whole different kind of way. The T is for true thoughts, thinking true thoughts, thinking about the truth, dwelling on the truth. So affirmations, affirmative prayer really help us get there, right? So if we read the Daily Word or the Science of Mind magazine or call Silent Unity for prayer or reach out to our prayer chaplains for prayer, we get steeped in that kind of affirmative belief system, understanding, thought system, spoken system, and then we drink that in. Pick an affirmation for yourself and make it your mantra, the thing that you meditate on every day, the thing that you carry with you, that you put on the dashboard of your car, or maybe it's your white stone that you're putting before you, remembering again, oh yeah, remember the first of the year I received that white stone word, let me come back into that and be with that in a whole different way. Or maybe it's images that we use, but drinking in what will help us stay steady in true thoughts, thoughts that are on the truth of spirit, on the truth of who we are, on the truth of the people around us and our lives and our world. That's how we get there. That's how we rise up. That's how we resurrect out of the stuff, right, that we don't want anymore, that we need to leave behind. If we fill our minds and our hearts with goodness, then we reap that reward, right? We experience that reward no matter what comes. It doesn't mean that, you know, we're not putting on the sort of rose-colored glasses and saying, no challenges will ever come to you again, you know? It's not like that. Life is life is life, right? There will be challenges. There will be conflicts. There will be stuff. There will be pain. But with these tools, with this kind of thinking, with this kind of heart to receive it and meet it, it's a whole different world. It's a whole different experience of life. It's a joyful life. It's an easier life. It's a grace-filled life. It's a surprising life. It's a life that has that kind of present mindfulness that I am, when we're eating even, I am taking in eternal life. And I become like a pillar of light when we rise up into that sort of confident, faithful truth that we are and move about our world in that way. What a gift we bring to others so that they too will ignite the light within them. And then the lights don't, they're not pillars anymore. They just kind of become this big swarm of collective exponential light and love, right, in our world. So you can remember these basic ideas. Let's go back to the practical steps, that the R is resurrection, is about being right here and now when we rise up. The I is inquire and invest in your joy. Inquire within and then invest in that. Having gratitude for life, taking care of your heart and thinking true thoughts. That allows us to resurrect right here, right now. That allows us to have the difference between an Easter experience, which is a powerful transformational experience that allows us to rise up into the very divine potential that we have come here to be, the difference between that and a fun holiday. A fun holiday is great, but I want the other thing, don't you? I want the fullness of that experience, and we have the fullness of that experience when we engage it at its root, when we engage it from the moment that we awaken. Yesterday's stone has rolled away, and it's a whole new day, a whole new dawn, and I am rising up into the truth of who I am. Philip Brooks said, "Let every person count themselves immortal. Let them catch the revelation of Jesus in his resurrection. Let them say not merely Christ has risen, but I shall rise." That's the Easter message. I shall rise. I am rising up. Let's be that. Let's rise up to greet the dawn of ourselves and our lives and our world. Let's rise up in our divinity so we can live this abundant life we've been given. Will you join me in this affirmation? Together, I rise up into my divinity and live abundant life. And so it is.